Okay, it's going. Okay, good evening, everyone. So tonight, in Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to start a topic of tefillah, talking about inyanei tefillah, and the first inyan will be kavana b'tefillah, that one must have intent when they daven. So when we talk about davening, we're speaking specifically about the Shmona Esrei. That's clear in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. And one must have kavana, one must have intent. So we take this for granted. So the Shaila is, what does kavana mean? How much of the Shmona Esrei is it critical to have kavana? What happens if somebody did not have kavana? So we're going to discuss all of these issues. So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachas, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. This is a quote from the Gemara. Hamispalel, so one who is davening Shmona Esrei, Tzarech Shiyechaven Es Liboy Bekulan. So one must have kavana, he must have intent by all of the brachas. V'im Einu Yachol Lechaven Bekulam, if he's not able to have intent with all of the brachos, Yechaven Es Libo Ba'achas, he should at least have kavana by one of the brachas. So which one? Omar Rav Chiya, Omar Rav Safra, Mishum Chad Bei Rebbe. So Rav Chiya says, in the name of Rav Safra, in the name of one of the Talmidim of the Academy of Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Ba'avois, that one must have kavana by the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. It's referred to as Avos, because we talk about the Avos, the patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So one must at least have kavana regarding the first bracha of the Shmona Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah says, because that's the Iker bracha, that's the primary bracha where we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at the very least, you have to have kavana at the first bracha. So one must have kavana, one must try to have kavana regarding all the brachas of Shmona Esrei, but at the very least, he has to have kavana by the first bracha. Now, at the end of Tefillah Shachar, that's the fourth parak in Brachas, Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, Ani ro'isi es Rabbi Yanai, I once observed Rabbi Yanai, Ditzali, that he davened Shmona Esrei, v'hadr Tzali, and then he davened again. So why did he daven twice? So the Gemara debates, the Gemara entertains different reasons, the Gemara suggests different reasons. One of the things that the Gemara suggests, you know why Rav Yanai might have davened the second time? Amalei Rebbe Yirmiyah leRebbe Zeira, v'dilma me'ikara lo'kiven daite. Perhaps at first he didn't have kavana. It happens to the best of us. At the first time he davened Shmona Esrei, he didn't have kavana. Ula besoif kiven daite, and then he davened again.
Right, but he did not have kavana for the whole entire bracha, or just the first bracha.
Oh, so the Gemara said before that at the very least you have to have kavana with the first bracha. So I would assume that the Gemara is saying he didn't have kavana even by the first bracha. So the reason why he repeated was because he didn't have kavana by the first bracha.
First bracha is the
debit or the kavana? What do you mean by that? To only have kavana at the first? L'chatchila, you should have as much kavana as you can. But after the fact, as long as you had kavana by the first bracha, you don't have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. So if we put two and two together, so the first Gemara, the Gemara on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, says that one who davens should attempt to have kavana regarding all the brachas, but at least one, and that's the first one. The second Gemara, a Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis, says that I once saw Rabbi Yanai that he davened, and he seemed to daven again, and the Gemara says perhaps he davened again because he didn't have kavana. So we see from here a second thing. We see from here that if one did not have kavana, at least for the first bracha, he has to daven again. So if we put the two Gemaras together, the halacha that emerges is, again, you have to have kavana as much as you can, but if you didn't have kavana at least for the first one, then you must repeat it. So the Rush,
if you didn't have kavana in the avos, he still continues saying.
Oh, very good, very good. The Bir Halacha. We're going to get to that. Very good, very good. Now, the Rush is one of the main commentaries in the Gemara. Says the Rush, and this is a quote: Mikan Mashma. So you see from this Gemara, the Gemara on Laman Amud Beis, that Rabbi Yanai had to daven again. We see from there the Mishaloi Kibin Daitoi, that if a person did not have kavana lekol hapachas ba'avis, at least for the first bracha, shetzarach lachzer ulaspalel, he has to daven again. In other words, we're not playing games. When the Gemara says you have to at least have kavana by the first bracha, what happens if I didn't? So the other Gemara says that that's why Rabbi Yanai davened again. again because he didn't have kavanah. So it's real stuff over here. If the person davened and did not have kavanah for the first bracha, he has to daven again. That is the Gemara with the psak of the Rush. We're going to wait till the end. We'll see. It's not so simple. We'll see how we do it nowadays. Now, the Gemara says, so in Beis, in item Beis, so mahu kavana, what is the kavana that one must have? So I wrote it here in the notes. I wrote it shorthand, but the Shulchan Aruch has a beautiful expression here. So I wrote the first line of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch and Or HaChaim, Siman Tzadik Ches, Halacha Aleph, writes the following. Hamispalel, one who davens, sarah shiachavin beliboy pirish hamilos. The person has to at least have in mind, he has to understand the words that he's saying, shemoitzi bisfasa, that he's articulating with his lips. So for those that speak Hebrew as a mother language, so
no problem.
It's no problem. But still, very often when you're reading something, you might be reading it and not concentrating on the intent. Even if you speak the language, you might not be concentrating on the intent. You might like wake up halfway through and say, "What happened to the first half?"
Yeah, even more so, you know the language, you can just like zip.
So you think it's easier? It's easier to read it without intent. If you have to like process it. If it's not your mother tongue, so then probably what it means is very often you have to read it and like in your mind you have to think the English. If you speak Hebrew as your mother tongue, I don't know, you're not translating it in your mentally into some other language. That is your only language. But you still have to concentrate on the intent. And if you don't speak Hebrew as a mother language, certainly when you're saying the Hebrew words, you sort of have to process it and translate it to yourself into the other language. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the kavanah is to have the pirush hamilos, to understand the words that you're saying. And then the Shulchan Aruch says that there's another kavanah, the yachshoiv ki'ilu shchina kenegdai. One has to understand, he has to contemplate that the divine presence is before him. So he's standing before Hashem. Now, I didn't write the whole thing in the notes, but the Shulchan Aruch, he elaborates on this. He says, the person has to have kavana on the pirush hamilos that he's saying, on the meaning of the words. He also has to understand that Hashem is standing before him. And then he goes on, the Shulchan Aruch goes on. A person has to remove all... Amen. All machshavas hatardus, I say. A person has to get rid of any disturbing thoughts until his machshava and his kavana is zaka, is pure. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on, b'yachshav ki'ilu hayimadaber l'fei melech basar v'dam. Imagine if I'd be standing before a king, standing before a president. Hayimisadar devarav, I would have to arrange my speech. I would practice it before in front of a mirror. I would have it written down. I'd go through it. I would have to concentrate what I'm saying. Umachavin behem yofel abal yikoshel. And if you're speaking to a king, a mortal king, a king of flesh and blood, you have to concentrate and make sure you don't stumble in your words. All the more so, says the Shulchan Aruch, before Hashem, the King of Kings, shehu choyker kol machshavas, Hashem can investigate it. He can interrogate all of our thoughts. Bekacho yoisim chasidim v'anshei maisa. This is what the early chasidim and the men of deed would do. Shehayu mizboididim. They would meditate. Umechavdim b'tfilasam. And they would have intent on their tefillah. Ad shehayu magiyim lespashtus hagashmis. The Shulchan Aruch, we're talking about the Shulchan Aruch here, and he uses almost Kabbalistic terms. They would concentrate and meditate until they would able to be hispashtus hagashmis, until they would be able to release themselves of any physicality, and they would, their seichel, their intellect, would overcome their physicality until they would reach a level close to prophecy. So it's almost as if these early chassidim and anshei maisa, they would almost put themselves into some kind of a trance before they would daven, almost close to prophecy. So that's the kavanah the Shulchan Aruch says we're supposed to have. One kavanah is simply intent on the meaning of the words, and the second kavanah is that we have to realize we're standing before Hashem, and as far as that kavanah is concerned, it's almost like the sky is the limit. We have to realize that we're standing before Hashem, and earlier people, earlier generations, they'd be able to almost bring themselves to a state of prophecy, like it's in a trance, in reverence that they're standing before Hashem. You can only imagine. How you approach a king. Very good. Very interesting. Now, we see from here that there are two types of kavanas we have to have. Number one, we have to have in mind the intent of the words. And number two, we have to remember that we're standing before Hashem. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chafez and Aleph, just to highlight the point, so Rav Chana Bar Bizna says, in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida, Hamispalel, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, one who davens, tzarech sheyira atzmoy ki'ilu shchina kenegdoi. He has to concentrate and contemplate that the divine presence is before him. Shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, shivisi Hashem lenegdi summit, that I place Hashem before me constantly. Now, in the brackets, I wrote that it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch says that there are two kavanas. Number one, you have to concentrate on the meaning of the words that you're saying, and number two, you have to realize that you're standing before Hashem. The Gemara and the Rambam that we're about to quote never mentions that you have to know the meaning of the words. I guess the Shulchan Aruch took that for granted, that you have to understand what you're talking about. The Gemara never even bothered to mention that. That's obvious, that you have to know the meaning of the words. The Gemara in Sanhedrin adds, you also have to remember that you're standing before the Shechina. Now,
well, it also says you can do Shemoneh Esrei in any language.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, in any language. But you have But like it was pointed out before, even if Hebrew is your mother tongue, right, you can still zip through it and wake up halfway through. But just because you can say it in any language, it's still an important point that you must have intent on the meaning of the words that you're saying. You can't just read it through and daven it up, like the expression goes.
So what would be the difference if you do understand the meaning of the word or you don't?
So that's not the goal. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to have kavana, two kavanas, the meaning of the words, and you have to realize that
what is the meaning of the words given me?
It gives you intent. You have to know what you're saying. Yeah. Just like the Shulchan Aruch says,
if you don't know what you're reading.
If you're standing before a king, you have to know what you're asking for. You can't just speak Chinese. You have to know what you're saying when you're standing before the king. Certainly, the King of Kings, you have to know what you're saying.
Because if you're asking for something and then you're thinking about what you need, then you're not direct your kafana to Hashem.
Right. So you have to know that you're standing before Hashem, and you also have to simply know the meaning of the words. Like, especially the first bracha, that you're praising Hashem, you better know what you're saying. How is it a praise if you don't even know the meaning of the words?
It's like if you apologize and you don't really mean that you're sorry.
You're insincere.
Yeah.
Right. Or let's say you apologize and you don't even know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Now. It's very interesting because the halacha wants to drive home the point that these two kavanas, that you have to have intent on the meaning of the words and you're standing before Hashem. The halacha wants to drive home the point. This is not just something that's in our imagination, that we're standing before Hashem. The halacha drives home the point that we really have to realize that we're standing before Hashem. So the halacha says like this. These kavanas, this is item Dalet in the Hebrew, these kavanas are not just something that we're imagining. These are actual halachas that we're taking for real. So, for example, the Mishnah Brura in Siman Tzadik Aleph in chapter 91, Tzivkat and Vav, he brings the lashon of the Zohar. Man dekoyim bitzilusa. So this is the Hebrew words of the Zohar, the Aramaic words of the Zohar. Someone who stands in Shmona Esrei, boy lechasuyei reisha, he has to cover his head, ve'einoi, and he has to cover his eyes, begain de lo yistakel b'shchinta, not to gaze at the Shechina. So the Zohar says that when a person is davening Shmona Esrei, he's literally standing before the Shechina, and out of respect for the Shechina, not to gaze at the Shechina, he has to cover his head and his eyes, not to gaze at the Shechina. It's almost like when we have Birkas Kohanim, when the Kohanim are duchening and giving us a bracha, so especially in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we were not allowed to gaze at the Kohanim because the Shechina is said to be between their fingers. So the Pri Megadim adds that this is referring to the Talis Shel Mitzvah. That's why we wear a talis during davening, and we cover our heads with the talis. So that is the minhag nowadays, that we cover our head until our eyes with our talis of mitzvah, with the tzitzis, while we're davening Shmoneh Esrei. That's a statement from the Pri Megadim the Mishnah Brura brings. And the reason is because we're standing before the Shechina. So it's not just something that we're imagining, we're supposed to experience that. We're supposed to actually realize we're standing before the Shechina, and we have to do the outward acts that demonstrate that we cover our eyes, we cover our head and our eyes in order not to gaze straight ahead, because we're supposed to realize that we're standing before the Shechina.
If you daven with your eyes closed, you don't have to put the...
Right, that's true. But the minhag was to cover case. Just like with Birkas Kohanim, right? Theoretically, a person can close his eyes also. But the minhag, out of that deference to the Shechina, was to cover our eyes. There's another halacha. Even if you're covering... That's very interesting. There's a machlokes about that, the Arizal. There's a machlokes. Some people hold, what about the fact that you're covering the tefillin that's on your head? So some people were careful not to cover the tefillin. Other people say you can even cover the tefillin. So that's actually a machlokes brought in halacha. Now, are the tape recorders working? Okay.
I hope so.
Now, It says in Or HaChaim, another halacha, in Siman Kuf Beis, halacha Dalet. So here's the halacha. Asur lavur keneged hamispalim mitoich arba amis. This is a halacha that we're all familiar with. It's very hard to fulfill this halacha. But the halacha is you're not supposed to pass in front of someone who's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. What's the reason for that halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Tezvav, in note number 15, says the Mishnah Berurah two reasons. Number one, mipnei shemavapel kavanosei al yedeze. One reason you can't step before the person is because you might distract him by standing in front of him and you might disturb his kavana. And the Chayyadim writes another reason, because mipnei shemafzik ben amispala lehashchina. Again, so we're bringing out the point that we have to view ourselves that we're literally standing before the Shechina. And if I would walk before you while you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, it's disrespectful to the Shechina because I'm making a barrier, I'm interrupting your conversation with the Shechina. So we have to literally look at ourselves as if we're standing before the Shechina. It's very interesting. The Bir Halacha says that there's actually a difference between the two reasons. Why can't I walk in front of you while you're davening Shmoneh Esrei? One reason is because I'm disturbing your Kavana. And the second reason is because I'm interrupting your conversation with the Shechina. I'm walking in between you and the Shechina. Says the Bir Halacha that there's a practical difference between the reasons. According to the first reason, that we're afraid that I'm going to be mevatel your Kavana. So if the Mispalel, if the one who's davening, draped his talis over his head, so his eyes are closed and his face is covered, like we mentioned before, then there's room to be lenient because perhaps I won't disturb him. I'm not going to distract him if his eyes are closed and if his talis is over his head. So if I see someone's davening with a lot of intent and his eyes are closed or the talis is over his head, I'm not going to disturb his kavana. He's not even going to notice me if I pass by. So according to the first reason, I would be allowed, or at least there's room to be lenient, if you have to pass by. But according to the second reason, which is the reason of the Chayyadim, that you're interrupting his conversation with the Shechina, then even if you're not going to disturb him, you still shouldn't pass within his Dalet Amis because the Shechina, it's like you're stepping on the Shechina, you're walking past the Shechina. So says the Bir Halacha, you should be strict regarding this.
There's Rabbi Chisda who was davening and Nachash was Oketz him and he was continuing davening.
That's right.
So his Talmudim told
that's
him.
That's right.
So his Kavana was so strong.
He didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
Right. It was like a general anesthetic.
Right.
He was there was a mice with the Beis Halevi also like that. The Beis Halevi, he was once going to have surgery, so they were going to give him some anesthesia, but then he wouldn't be able to think and learning. So he says, forget the anesthesia. Give me some time to get into the sugya. And then he didn't feel the surgery. So people can get, like we said before, people can bring themselves almost to like a prophetic state of being so absorbed in their Kavana.
How
was that? That was in the 1800s. About 150 years, 200 years ago, probably.
They had surgery? And just
they had some kind of primitive, some kind of just elementary surgery. Now, so what did we establish so far? So far, we established that there are two types of kavanas, and we also brought out that the halacha recognizes the standing before the Shekhinah. Now, there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Dalet, Hilchas Tefillah, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam enumerates there are five things that are critical to Shmoneh Esrei. Even if the time to daven Shmoneh Esrei arrived, one should not daven if he didn't observe these five things. Number one, Taras Yadayim, he has to make sure his hands are clean. Number two, he has to be clad, he has to cover his nakedness. Number three, the area that we're davening has to be clean. If there's any kind of spoilage or feces in the area, one is not allowed to daven. Number four, a person cannot have anything that's distracting him. And number five, finally, Kavanas Halev, the person has to have intent. And the Rambam continues there in Halacha Tezvav, this is all in chapter 4, Perek Dalet, that Kavana Salev Ketzad, says the Rambam, what do I mean when I say that you shouldn't daven unless you have Kavana? Says the Rambam, called Tfila She'ena B'Kavana Eina Tfila. The Rambam makes a blanket statement. Any Shmoneh Esrei that is missing intent is not a davening. It doesn't count. V'imispala b'loy kavana. If the person daven without kavana, choizer umispala b'kavana, he has to daven again. The Rambam says just a blanket statement that tefillah without kavana is not a tefillah, and if the person did daven without kavana, he has to daven again. Now in Perek Yud, in the 10th Perek, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam clarifies, mi shehispal v'loy kivin es liboy, if a person davened and did not have kavana, yachzer v'yispal v'kavana, he has to daven again with kavana. That's the same, so far so good. And now I wrote it in bold in the Hebrew, im kivin liboy bebracha rishayna, now he brings the Gemara in brachas on Lamed Dala that we quoted, as long as he had kavana with the first bracha, shuvenu tzarech, he does not have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. So now, the first Rambam in Perek Dalet makes a blanket statement. Anybody who daven without kavana, it's not a davening, he has to daven again. In Perek Yud, in the 10th Perek, the Rambam says that if you didn't have kavana regarding the first bracha, then you have to daven again, implying that it's good enough just to have kavana for the first bracha.
But it's too, it's like it's too diff, it's oh, the two things.
So the Rav Chaim Brisker, he asks a contradiction. He takes both Rambams literally, and he asks it as a stira. He asks a contradiction that in the 4th Perek, the Rambam is mashma. The Rambam implies that the kavana is critical for the entire Shmona Esrei. He makes a blanket statement. The Rambam says that if you daven without kavana, it's not a davening, and you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. He doesn't specify. He doesn't clarify. He doesn't limit it to the first bracha. And in Perek Yud, the Rambam says only avos. So Rav Chaim Brisker wants to say that the Rambam in each Perek, in Perek Dal and Perek Yud, is referring to the two kavanas that we're referring to. In the first Rambam in Perek Dalid, when he says that if you daven without kavana, it's not a davening, and you have to repeat the davening, period, he's talking about the kavana of recognizing that you're standing before the Melech, medaber b'fnei ha-melech, that you're standing before the Shechina. In Perek Yud, in the 10th Perek, when he says that the kavana, the intent is only critical for the first bracha, that's talking about the Pirish HaMilos, right? So we established there are two types of kavanas, and Rav Chaim says that the two kavanas work, they operate differently. If you don't realize you're standing before Hashem, that mindset is critical for the entire davening. If in the middle of the way through, I say to myself, hey, you know, I've been daydreaming, and I forgot that I'm standing before Hashem, I guess find myself in the middle of Shmona Esrei, the Rav Chaim says that the Rambam would require us to daven again. Even if I had intent with the first bracha, but if I daydream and I forget that I'm standing before the Shechina during the rest of Shmona Esrei, I have to daven again. In the 10th Perek, when the Rambam says that it's all about the first bracha, that's referring to the kavana that's unique to Shmona Esrei, that you have to have intent on the Pirish HaMilos, on the meaning of the words. Now, Rav Chaim goes on to explain what would the reason be behind this, because Rav Chaim is the one who's establishing this. He's claiming that the Rambam is referring, the first Rambam who says that kavana is critical for the whole Shmona Esrei is talking about medaber l'fnei ha-melech, standing before the king, and the second kavana, the Pirish HaMilos, the meaning of the words, that's only critical for the first bracha. Why would that be? Why is it that if I forget that I'm standing before Hashem, why is that critical throughout the entire Shmona Esrei?
Maybe it's the other way around. Why can't you say it the other way around?
Okay, go ahead. How would you want to say it?
that the first, the like Magen, the others is standing before the king and recognizing God's royalty. And the rest of the davening is really asking God for your bakashas. Why can't you say it the other way around?
So we're going to soon see that everybody argues on Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim explains like this. Why would that be? So Rav Chaim explains like this. The reason why the Rav Chaim doesn't want to say it the other way around is because he's going to explain right now, if the first bracha is the main bracha, then why would I have to have any kavana throughout the rest of the Shmona Esrei? Why would that be?
Because my understanding would
be... Yeah, how would you understand?
The only brachas that unite all the different types of Shmona Esrei are the others.
That unite, okay.
I mean, you have Atta Chani, you don't have Shabbos.
Right. So why can't...
I'll take a Dash, you don't have during
the
weekdays.
So how would the Rambam know, why would I need to have Kavana throughout the whole Shmona Esrei if only the first...
Because by recognizing God's... L'sakeno, that you realize that this is Malchus Hashem, that this is Hashem's kingdom, that's the whole idea of davening.
No, so that's what Rav Chaim is saying. That Kavana you have to have throughout the whole Shmona Esrei.
But that prepares you, the first part prepares you.
Okay, so Rav Chaim is saying that you have to have that kavana throughout the whole davening, and he says like this: there are two reasons why Rav Chaim would suggest that the whole Shmona Esrei has to have that kavana. Number one, Mesasik. Mesasik is like this. Mesasik means that it happened by itself. Imagine if you're trying to blow a shofar, and you're just playing around. You're just trying to blow a tune. You're playing around, and then just incidentally, coincidentally, the right sounds came out. So you certainly would not fulfill your obligation, because it's called Mesasik. Mesasik means you were busy trying to do one thing, and the sound of the shofar came out. It happened to come out the right sound, Mesasik, but you were not intending to do the Maisa of blowing the shofar. That's Mesasik. So the din of Medaber L'fnei HaMelech, so Michael, this is what you're saying, but he says this is for the whole Shmona Esrei, says Rav Chaim, that the knowledge that you're standing before Hashem is the act of davening.
What are we doing when we're davening? When we're davening, we're standing before Hashem. That is what we're doing. We're engaged. We're engaged in standing before Hashem. If a person forgets that he's doing that and he's just daydreaming, so then he's not intending to do the act of what he's supposed to be doing. It's as if it's happening by itself. So the act, you have to have kavanah for. So in other words, knowing the meaning of the words, I'm davening even if I don't know the meaning of the words. I only have to know the meaning of the words for the first bracha. But you have to be engaged in an act of davening. If you don't even remember that you're standing before the king, you're not even engaged in an act of davening. It's as if it's going by itself. It's an autopilot. So then you wouldn't be yotze at all. And without that kavanah, it's as if you didn't daven at all. There's another reason why you have to have kavanah, says Rav Chaim, because kol haTorah kula, in every mitzvah, there's a halacha that mitzvahs require kavanah. You have to have intent to be yotze. So how can you be davening and not remembering that you're standing before Hashem? Where's your intent to fulfill your obligation of davening? So that's how Rav Chaim explains the two Rambams. The halacha that you're standing before the king, says Rav Chaim, that's absolutely critical, because that is the essence of davening. That's the maisa tefillah. If you're standing before Hashem without realizing it, and it's just happening by itself on autopilot, then you're not actively standing before Hashem. Yes. It's happening by itself.
So parish amilas.
Number two,
so
you don't have to have the pirish amilas. It's only critical to have the pirish amilas on the first bracha, because that's when you're really praising Hashem, sort of like similar to what Michael was saying. But the rest of the davening, that is the essence of the davening. How can you say you're davening if you don't even remember where you are, that you're standing before Hashem? Number two, you have to have kavanah to fulfill the obligation to daven. And it can't be said that you're having intent to fulfill the obligation if you don't even remember, if you're not even thinking about the fact that you're standing before Hashem. That's how Rav Chaim says.
That's from the perspective that the kavanah of Yotze is identical with the kavanah of, you know, standing in front of Hashem.
Right.
Which, you know, it's kind of a beautiful concept, and I
right.
think there's a lot of
right. Right. It's debatable.
Right. So
he has his diak in the Rambam. That the Rambam in Perek Dalet says any Shmona Esrei without Kavanah is not a Shmona Esrei. And then he says in Perek Yud, you have to have Kavanah only for the first bracha. So the Rav Chaim takes this as a contradiction. So he's trying to explain that they're referring to different Kavanahs. That's his raya.
No, I hear that.
And now he's trying to explain why that would be so. Right?
No,
but the raya is from the Lashon of the Rambam.
I hear, but in theory, you could also argue that there are actually three different types of kavanahs that are appropriate here. One is pirush amilas, one is standing before Hashem, and third is
kavanah to be yotze. Right, so that really is what Rav Chaim is saying. But Rav Chaim is saying that if you don't know that you're standing before Hashem, you can't possibly be having kavanah to be yotze the Shmona Esrei, because that is what the mitzvah is. It's like you don't have kavanah to even do the mitzvah. So number one, it's misasik. It's like it's happening by itself. And number two, at the very least, you're missing the kavanah to be yotze because it's happening by itself. That's what we're trying to say.
Right, but like when I eat matzah, like what kavanah do I have to have? Right, do I have to have the kavanah? I'm trying to be yotze.
You just have to have kavanah. Trying to be yotze mitzvah. Right.
Right. Or do I have to have? And the reason we're doing that.
Let's say you would eat the matzah not knowing that it's Pesach, or let's say you would eat the matzah thinking it's something else. That would be misasik. Right?
So
that's even worse. You would not be yotze. That's even worse than not having kavanah to be yotze. That's saying it's happening by itself. Let's say you intend on eating matzah, but not necessarily to be yotze. Then that would be the shaila if mitzvahs need kavanah or not. But we paskin mitzvahs need kavanah. So Rav Chaim is arguing, and I hear your point, Rav Chaim is arguing that if you don't even realize you're standing before Hashem, you can't possibly be having kavanah to be yotze tefillah, because you're not concentrating on doing an act of tefillah. It's like you're not even thinking about eating matzah.
Right, so it's that last point that I'm saying so far hasn't been.
Right, okay, I hear. Now, the Chazon Ish argues on Rav Chaim, and he says that this is too much. It's too much to expect. We sometimes think the Chazon Ish is like very machmir. The Chazon Ish says, it's impossible to be mechaven the entire davening and never get distracted and never have your mind wander. Rav Chaim is saying that the Rambam is literally requiring us to be cognizant every moment of the fact that we're standing before Hashem. But it happens all the time that a person is davening Shmona Esrei, and then he doesn't realize, and then he wakes up halfway in, he realizes where he is. You know, he was in Honolulu, or he was in someplace else while he was in the middle of davening. So it happens happens all the time. Says the Chazon Ish that this is, it's something bilti efshir. It's impossible to expect a person to concentrate the entire time, even on the minimal, even on the other kavana that he's standing before Hashem. So how does the Chazon Ish learn the Rambam? So says the Chazon Ish that even if you're davening and then you switch into autopilot, let's call it, says the Chazon Ish, there's always some kind of subconscious kavana somewhere, someplace in your mind. You realize that you're davening. You might be daydreaming and thinking about other things, but you realize deep down that you're davening, and that's sufficient that it shouldn't be considered misasik. You can't consider the act of davening as happening by itself, because on some level you're doing it deliberately. It's not considered misasik. And the Avi Ezri of Shach Zatzal also asks the question on the second point. So though this is along some similar to what you're saying, that normally when we say mitzvah srichas kavana, as long as you had intent to be yotzei on the onset, that's good enough. Let's say I'm eating matzah, so I don't have to have intent every single second that I want to be yotzei. As long as I said hareini muchan mezumen beforehand, I prepare myself before, the entire mitzvah is one long mitzvah, and the intent that I had before covers the entire act. The Gemara uses an expression, kol ha'oise, anybody who's performing an act is al das rishayna hu oise, he's performing the act based on his original intent. So between the Chazon Ish and between Rav Shach Zatzal, they both argue on both points of the Rav Chaim. It can't be that you have to be expected to have intent, a deliberate intent, the entire Shmoneh Esrei. There is some kind of subconscious intent that's driving you. It's not happening by itself. And as far as kavana to be yotzei, to fulfill the obligation, the kavana that you had before you started should suffice for the entire Shmoneh Esrei. So, oh, very good. So they say, in Yud Aleph, they say that all the kavanas are only ma'akev on the first bracha. Now, what was the whole question? The question was, why does the Rambam make a blanket statement in the fourth parak that without kavana you're not yotzei? And in the tenth parak he says, you only have to have kavana for the first bracha. So both Rav the Chazon Ish and Rav Shach, they both say that it's not a question, because the Rambam at first is saying the lachatchila, he's introducing the concept of tefillah, and later on when he gets to the 10th parak, he elaborates and it qualifies what he meant to say. He meant to say that the kavana is only critical in the first bracha. Now in item Yud Beis, we point out that that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch actually is clear. The Shulchan Aruch on Tzadik Ches is what we quoted originally, that there are two kavanas, the Pirish Hamilis and the kavana of standing before the Shechina. And then in the next chapter, Kuf Aleph, when the Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha of what's critical, he says, HaMispalot Tzara Sheyichavim B'chol HaBrachas, you have to have kavana ideally with all the brachas, but if you only had kavana by the first bracha, you're yotzei, right? So the Shulchan Aruch in Tzadik Ches mentions both kavanas, and in Kuf Aleph in chapter 101, he says if you didn't have kavana, if you only had kavana for the first bracha, you're yotze. There's no indication that he's making a distinction between one kavana and the other. So says the Chazon Ish and says the Rav Shach that the Shulchan Aruch clearly is saying, not like Rav Chaim, that all you have to have kavana b'dieved is the first bracha. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, Tosfos and Baba Basra brings a Yushalmi that's often quoted. It's an amazing Yushalmi. The Talmud Yushalmi brings a story. Omar Rav Misnaya. It's almost like it's a joke. The Yushalmi almost makes a joke. Mechzakna Tevusa L'Resha. The great Rav Masnaya, one of the Amoraim in the times of the Gemara, this Talmudic sage, says, thank goodness for my head. Why? Because the chimati lemoidim, because when I reach moidim, it bows down by itself, right? So if I'm so happy that my head knows when to bow down. I'm busy thinking about something else, and my head bows down and knows exactly when to bow down. That's what the great sage of the Talmud himself said. And Tosfos brings there that you see from the Gemara that even the great sages of the Talmud had trouble being mechaven, so we're all in good company. So what do you see from here? You see from here, not like Rav Chaim, because he was davening Shmoneh Esrei, and he just bowed down just on autopilot. So obviously he wasn't thinking about what he was doing, and he says he was yotzei, right? He said that used to happen all the time. Thank goodness that my head knows when to bow down by modin, because I'm yotzei with that. So all you see from here that all you have to have kavana for is the first bracha. So this Gemara is actually a question on Rav Chaim, because Rav Chaim is saying that you have to realize you're standing before Hashem every moment of the Shmoneh Esrei, and you see that even the great sages of the Talmud would switch into autopilot. Now, there's another raya.
So the question English is why mode, and why do you say why mode?
Because that's when you're doing something. Or you should have said slach lono like this.
But he didn't say it right the first bracha.
No, the first bracha he had kavanah. But then by the
that's
time
exactly the
by the time he
right.
gets
so
in,
by the time he got to mode, and he was like,
so
yeah.
So if it wouldn't be that his head knows the bow, he
right.
won't even know where
right.
he's up to.
So the first bracha,
we're rugged. Now,
but the first bracha he had kavanah.
He had kavanah.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Otherwise, he'd have to daven again.
Right.
The first bracha he had kavanah, but the rest of the Shemoneh Esrei he switched into autopilot. Now, the Mincha Shleima, that's Rav Shleima Zalman Orbach, he brings another proof. He brings another proof that as long as you had intent in the very beginning, it should be good enough. There's an interesting halacha in Kriya Shema. So if you notice, the first two parshas of Kriya Shema, they both end similarly. Uchsavtem al mezuzois pesecha uvisharecha. So it's very likely sometimes a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, is davening Kriya Shema, and he says Uchsavtem al mezuzois. And he says to himself, wait a minute, did I just finish the second parsha or did I just finish the first paragraph? Because they both end with that sentence. So the Gemara says that since you don't remember where you're up to, you have to assume the worst case. You have to assume that you only said the first paragraph and you have to say the second paragraph again because you forgot where you're up to. So you have to be choshesh, worst case scenario, that you only said the first paragraph. However, if I said Laman Yirbu Yamechem, which is actually the last pasuk in the second paragraph, then you can assume that your tongue knows what it's doing, and since you said the man yirbu yameichem, you can assume that you've said everything prior to that, and you can rely on your habit, on your autopilot, that you said the second parsha. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, at least you see that we're all in good company. So you see from Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you see from here that presumably if he didn't even know what he was saying, and his tongue says the man yirbu, he obviously wasn't having intent, and it was sort of happening by itself. So if Rav Chaim says that if you don't realize you're standing before the Shechina, it's like it's happening by itself. So Kriya Shema also, it doesn't say you have to know that you're standing before the Shechina for Kriya Shema. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, if you're just saying the words on autopilot, presumably that would also be Masasik. So Rav Shlomo Zalman brings a proof to the Chazon Ish that as long as there's some driving force subconsciously that's making you recite what you're reciting, that's considered enough Kavanah to be a deliberate act, and it's not considered like it's just happening by itself. So these are questions, the Tosfos of Basra of Yerushalmi and the Halacha regarding Kriya Shema. These are proofs that one could be Yotze at a point, as long as he had Kavanah with the first Bracha or the first Pasuk of the Shema, he could be Yotze even if the rest of it sort of happened by itself and it was on autopilot. That's what the Mincha Shlomo says. Now, the Ramah says like this, and now this is how we paskin. We've been saying all along that if you don't have Kavanah regarding the first Bracha, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. The Ramah says that nowadays, ain choizrin b'shvil chasar and kavanah. We don't repeat the Shemoneh Esrei even if we didn't have kavanah by the first bracha. Sha'af b'chazara karav shlo yichavin. Because even if you daven a second time or a third time, how do you know you're going to have kavanah the third time? Imkin lama yachzer. Why should you daven again? So now the Bir Halacha asks your question. The Halacha is that really you're supposed to have kavanah regarding the first bracha. Nowadays, we can't muster that kavanah, so even if we didn't have kavanah, we don't daven again. But asks the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim, your question, that's good if you davened already. If I davened already and I realize I didn't have kavanah, should I daven again? We say no. But what if I realize that I didn't have kavanah at the first bracha and I'm somewhere in the middle? I'm up to Atta Gibor. How am I allowed to continue, right? Hold on. How am I allowed to continue if I know that I didn't have kavanah? It should be a bracha levatala. So, seemingly, I should have to go back because how am I allowed to continue? In other words, when does the Ramah say, don't bother davening again, it's not going to help, if you davened already? But if you're in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei and you know that you didn't have Kavanah, what enables you to go on and not have Kavanah? So, this is for sure the Rabbanah, right? The Rabbanah holds
it's
the right. It's a suffix, no, but no, it's a Rabbanah. Because I know that I didn't have Kavanah on the first bracha. So how am I allowed to continue? It's a bracha levatala. It's a vade bracha levatala. So the Bir Halacha brings from the Chayyadim that you're allowed to continue davening anyway, and you still shouldn't repeat, but the Bir Halacha doesn't understand why. So the Bir Halacha gives a fascinating solution. The Bir Halacha holds that if we daven the first bracha and realize we didn't have Kavanah, what we really should do is wait for the Chazan to say the first bracha, have in mind to be Yotze with the first bracha. I don't know if the Chazan's having Kavanah, but at least you can interject
that
Kavanah
was
into
my other
the Chazan's bracha. So you're listening to the bracha of the Chazan and you have a second chance. that you can have kavana during the recitation of the Shema Esrei, and then you can continue. But the Bir
Halacha, assuming the chazan has
exactly. But the Bir Halacha, he recognizes that that's not the minhag. So now there's an amazing stipler. The stipler says like this. The stipler in Siman Chav Zayin says the following. He wants to answer the kasha of the Bir Halacha, and this is like an eye opener, and it's really almost like a saving grace for all of us who might not have kavana. Says the stipler in Yud Zayin that Sarach Loimer, we have to say that it's true that if you didn't have kavana, you would have to normally daven again, which we don't do anymore. Nevertheless, even if you daven without kavana, you are still yotzei some minimal requirement to daven. And it's not considered a bracha levatala because it's called a tefila, it's just missing kavana. True, you have to daven again in order to be yotzei the kavana element. But even without kavana, it's considered that you davened, and the difference is that nowadays, that we cannot guarantee that we'll have kavana at all, we should still daven, contrary to the Bir Halacha's question, because the davening is a davening. So the stipler is saying, even though the Rambam says any Shmona Esrei without a kavana is not a davening, he just means to say it's not a davening to be yotzei completely, that you don't have to daven again. You have to daven again. Nowadays, we don't daven again, because it's not going to help. But you did at least do a davening. So you have to try to have kavana, but it's not a bracha levatala, even if you did not have kavana. It's not a blessing in vain, because it is considered a davening. We have the right to say the words of Shemona Esrei, even without kavana. And the Shibuli Leket, which is a Rishon, in Simon Yud Zayin, says the same thing. So the stifler was mechaven to a Rishon. Even though you have to daven again because you were lacking kavana, nevertheless, if you did not daven again, you did fulfill some minimal obligations. And that's the Chiddush of the Shibuli Leket, and the stipler uses this concept to answer the kasha of the Bir Halacha. How could it be that you daven the first bracha and you know you didn't have kavana? How can you continue? You're not being yotzei, says the stipler, and he brings the Shibuli Leket that you are yotzei because you can be yotzei even without kavana. So what are we saying? Didn't the Rush say you have to daven again? True. Ideally, you'd have to daven again because you want to fulfill the component of kavana. But what you did do still has value, and it's not a bracha levatal.
Keep going to the end.
Keep going to the
end. Yeah.
Technically, you should daven again, but we don't do that. So what you did counts for something. That's what says the bill.
Do we now, not daven again because the suffix brachas lahakel?
We don't daven. No, it's not a suffix. Because really, technically, you're obligated to daven again. We don't daven again because we can't guarantee we'll have kavana the second time around. So it doesn't accomplish anything, right? Chances are we won't have kavana the second time. We'll get distracted again, right? You start getting an OCD. You keep on davening over and over, and we're never going to have kavana anyway. But the question was, but how can I continue davening if I know that I already blew it? The answer is you didn't blow it because it still has a Shem Tefillah in spite of the Rambam uses a very strong expression. He says it's not called a Tefillah, but the stipler is qualifying that it's not called a Tefillah that you completely fulfilled your obligation, but you did fulfill somewhat some part of the obligation. Now the stipler says another thing. He brings from the Rekeach that someone who daven and has Kavana Bekulan, if you're not able to have Kavana, it's a different Girsa. You should have Kavana either for Avos or for Modim. Right? Wow. So, and something similar is brought in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Rekeach must have had a different girsa in the Gemara. Our Gemara is Avos. But the Rekeach must have had a different girsa in the Gemara that you have a choice, you have a second chance. Either Avos or Moedim. So the stipler brings that if a person did not have Kavana by Avos, he should certainly try to have Kavana during the Moedim, because according to the Rekeach, he could maintain his entire, he can salvage his entire Shmona Esrei with Kavana during Moedim. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has another Eitzah, that if a person went through the first bracha without kavana, he can simply pause and think the kavana and run through the meaning of the words in his mind, and the concentration that he has now will combine retroactively to the bracha that he said before, because he's still considered in the middle of the bracha, right? In other words, it's a chiddush. You don't have to have word translation. You can say the words and then you can translate the sentence afterwards. That's what Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. So if a person realizes he didn't have kavana, he can go back and rethink the English in or the meaning in his mind, and that kavana will be mitztarif to the bracha that he said before.
Wow.
Okay, yashikun.
Okay. That is.
Okay.
I guess our kavana.